Welcome to the 4th July lay-led podcast service at First Universalist Unitarian Church of Wausau. During the next 2 weeks, the pros are going to take over again. Those of you that are suffering from Brian withdrawal will be happy to know that Brian will be speaking again on the 9th of August. I am Randy Jefferson. Said last week that I serve this congregation on the Religious Services / Worship and Music Committee. I'm also the church treasurer, and in that capacity, I want to extend a thank you for the ongoing generosity of so many of you in meeting your pledge commitments and making additional financial gifts to the church. And also remind everyone that we have no offering, obviously, during these podcast services, and if you can make a contribution and would like to do so, you can give online through our online giving at our website. You could mail a contribution to church or deliver one in person. Donica would love to take that from you. When I got to thinking about the fact that 2020 is our 150th year as a church in Wausau, and having been here for the last 45 plus of those years, I thought there must be a message there somewhere. And I decided that I would speak about my UU, but I decided to pare it down initially to the first 25 years. And as ideas started to flow and so many stories and memories came back to me, I realized that I needed a little more discipline to meet the message time frame for these services. So I made the decision to concentrate on the three ministers that I've been fortunate to know during those 25 years from 1975 to 2000. But this still is a very personal oral history, personal for me because they're my memories, and for them because much of what I'm going to speak about is the person I knew. So we begin the service this morning with opening words which were very familiar to anyone who was here during Dick Drinan's ministry. Dick often used these opening words that Brian told me were still in the church somewhere, and I looked for them as I was planning the service, and I couldn't quite locate them, but dear Donica was able to find them, still taped to the lectern, 31 years after Dick last preached here, in the supply closet. So thank you, Donica, for finding these words. Dick would say, "Come as you are, and inescapably you must come if you would be yourself. Of others, ask no more or less. No one is better or worse than another, for no one has lived the life of the other. If you have doubts, bring them with you. If you have hope, bring that with you also. Come as you are, and let doubt, hope, and faith sit side by side until there comes the feeling that in the depth of understanding and feeling, we are one." And I'll light the chalice this morning, and hopefully you're sitting near a candle, or many of you are anyway, sitting near a candle, and you can light your candle as we read together our chalice lighting words. We light this chalice for the light of truth, the warmth of love, and the fire of commitment. We light this symbol of our faith as we gather together. Now we'll sing our first hymn. And I have to say, I really appreciate the fact that Donica and Margaret, Donica who's here taping today, Margaret who's not here but is going to come in, were very willing to say, you know, while we've got a library of hymns that we previously did, if you'd like to do something else, we'd love to record that. So they came in and have done the work on making it possible to have the two hymns we're having today, which are kind of throwback. These are hymns that I remembered from those days. The first is "Bring, O Past, Your Honor."
Bring, O time, your heartless grace.
Good to hear that hymn again. For a reading today, I've selected three excerpts from a book written by Kent Nerburn called Letters to My Son. This book really is Nerburn's guidance to his son on the issues of life. And I take these from his chapter on the spiritual journey. Nerburn writes, "We must begin by accepting where we are. We all have special gifts of character. Some of us are blessed with compassion, others, laughter, others, a power of self-discipline. Some of us are filled with the beauty of people, others, with the beauty of nature. Some of us have a keen sense of the injustices in life. Others are drawn to celebrate the goodness around us. These are all starting points because they are all places of belief. You must find the gift that you have, the sources of your belief, and discover a way to cultivate that gift." Nerburn goes on to write, "But always remember this. Spiritual growth is honed and perfected only through practice. Like an instrument, it must be played. Like a path, it must be walked. Whether through prayer or meditation or worship or good works, you must move yourself in the direction of spiritual betterment. Spiritual understanding never becomes deep unless you subject yourself to the spiritual discipline of practicing your belief." And he closes with this paragraph: "Do not refuse to seek God because you cannot find the one truth. We live in a pluralistic world, and only the most hard-headed refuse to accept the fact that truth, whether spiritual, cultural, political, physical, or otherwise, is given to different people in different ways. Find the path that glows like a sunlit day, rich in remembered scents and promises. Then follow. Only a fool refuses to walk in the sunlight because he cannot see the shape of the sun." That's worth repeating. Only a fool refuses to walk in the sunlight because he cannot see the shape of the sun. Here ends the reading. As Ann and I came through the venerable tower doors and entered First Universalist Church of Wausau for the first time in November of 1974, Emma Larson greeted us like a Northwoods mosquito spying an unsuspecting wilderness camper. Fresh blood. In the weeks that followed, Peter Lee Scott, the newly installed minister, persistently and persuasively pursued Emma's quarry. Peter was seeking adult advisors for the church high school youth's Unitine group. And, more importantly, he was on a mission to find facilitators for the new UUA About Your Sexuality AYS program, the forerunner to today's Our Whole Lives OWL program. AYS had recently stirred up controversy in Brookfield due to the out-of-context reporting of the program's direct, in-depth, explicit approach to sexuality education for youth. Peter's motives were twofold: wanting to educate church youth through what he rightly perceived to be a quality program, and hoping exposure to it was not too late for his precocious 14-year-old daughter. Like Anne and me, Peter never blamed the AYS program his daughter completed for the shotgun wedding he performed in South Dakota about a year later, even with parental approval, his daughter not being of age to wed in Wisconsin. I prefer to believe Carol Seafelt, who frequently told me for decades how grateful her daughter Beth was for AYS, and how Beth wished a similar program was available for her children in Colorado, where she lived. The Peter Scott I knew during his 4 1/2 year tenure was a man of conviction and courage. In October 1976, the Tigerton-based white supremacist National Emancipation of Our White Seed group that had been wantonly spreading hateful, vile rhetoric in the county scheduled a, and I have quotes around this, public education session at the Hoffman House in Wausau. At Peter's urging, Ann and I attended, sitting with Peter and Dolly in the row behind Rabbi Fischoff and his family, lending support and bearing witness. The following Sunday, Peter scrapped his sermon so we could report to the congregation on what we had heard and saw in that packed meeting room of locals voicing their collective goal of Jewish extermination. With Peter's guidance, the congregation passed and went public with a strongly worded resolution of support for our Mount Sinai neighbors and condemnation of the racist beliefs and activities of the hate group. It's worth sharing the core of it with you. The resolution read, "Be it therefore resolved that we, the members of the First Universalist Church of Wausau, do publicly condemn by word and action the racist beliefs and activities of the National Emancipation of Our White Seed Group, an organization presently active in our community, which espouses, among other objectives, the annihilation of all Jews, the enslavement and neuterization of all blacks, and the deportation of all Orientals in the United States, goals which represent the antithesis of those ideals we embrace most deeply. Be it further resolved that this congregation will help educate the community to the true nature of the threat posed by this group, will support any lawful means necessary to ensure that those in our community, most specifically its Jewish members, who have been exposed to these vicious attacks, are protected, and will strive to maintain open hearts and minds toward the white seed members so that they may come to recognize the inhumanity of their racist beliefs and activities." And part of our public proclamation was this: "Our continuing resolve to expose and combat irrationality, bigotry, and prejudice whenever and wherever they appear." That solidarity experience may be my proudest as a UU. Peter preached his last sermon here in late April 1978. Dick Drinan, his first at the start of September that same year, April 1978, Peter, September 1978, Dick. The search process was not as lengthy as it is now. Now, a number of significant and sometimes controversial historical church events occurred during Dick's ministry, like adding Unitarian to our church name. That was after the longtime Universalists made sure that Universalist came first. So anyone who wonders, how did we become the first Universalist Unitarian Church of Wausau, you now know. And another event, designating our building a nuclear-free zone, not to be identified as a fallout shelter. But it was outside the pulpit and his ministerial responsibilities that I really remember Dick most. What comes to mind for me is his humanness. Dick fully displayed that preachers are people. After Dick's May-December marriage began to unravel, and he learned who his wife was having an affair with, Dick readily acknowledged his dark side to me as he spoke of the bodily harm he'd like to inflict on the third party. Dick weathered his divorce and continued to minister to us. It was then that he showed his capacity to express the other end of the emotional spectrum from darkness. Having made his case for his parental prowess, Dick was awarded custody of his precious preschool daughter, married for the only time relatively late in life, with no previous child-rearing experience before Sarah. Dick followed the opening words of our familiar hymn, "Love Will Guide Us." Dick was not without help, especially from his congregants, but it was Dick who so successfully pulled off a most unlikely single parent role. Nothing else Dick accomplished in his ministry at First UU was as affirming or inspiring as the humanity he showed as Sarah's dad. After 10 years here, Dick and Sarah departed for the UU camp at Ferry Beach, Maine, where Dick became executive director. Following a one-year interim with the esteemed Scotty Meek, First UU called our first woman minister, Glenda Walker. By now, I'm into the time many of you remember, possessing a unique blend of gentleness, thoughtfulness, and strength wrapped around a keen intellect. That was Glenda. But Glenda memories for me of her 1990 through 2000 ministry really center on her willingness to try something new. A few years after Glenda put on her robe here, Anne and I asked if she'd be willing to conduct a house dedication for our newly purchased Southeast Side home. Glenda was all in, creating a deeply meaningful blessing ceremony for our family and friends, tying it together with what was to become hymn number one in the new 1993 hymnal, "May Nothing Evil Cross This Door." May nothing evil cross this door, and may ill fortune never pry. About these windows may the roar and rain go by. On the subject of singing, as I said at Glenda's memorial service, I will be forever grateful that Glenda suggested we modify our traditional Thanksgiving dinner service of readings and songs by adding "The Earth is Our Mother" chant, forging a new bond with Indigenous people and Mother Earth. And I close with a final story of Glenda's openness to something new. In the mid-90s, we had multiple women's book and discussion groups, as we probably do today as well. Now, at that time, men's movement initiatives were just beginning when I approached Glenda with the idea for a First UU men's discussion group. Not only was Glenda in favor, but, you know, knowing the Appleton Church had started a similar group, she volunteered to call Roger Birchhausen, the minister there, to get a contact name. Some of our charter men's group members are still active here. Jerry Phelan, Tim Peterson, Mike Maughan, Jim Schneider, and probably a few others that I'm not remembering right now. We shared readings, stories, and believe it or not, even some feelings. We talked up Nurburn's letters to my son so much, the women's book group read it. I still value those times. It might be worth another go at it with our new generation of men. I also still refer to Nurburn occasionally. As I piece together my thoughts for this message, the minister reference points reminded me of the spiritual path I have followed. The source is not always clear to me, but I am deeply grateful for the sunlight that has guided my way. And now, I'd ask that you join together in singing once again, "Where is our Holy Church?" I selected for a meditation today what ordinarily is a responsive reading, and they're really memorial words. Since there's nobody here to read responsively with me, I will read all of them to you. These words really are appropriate for anyone the memory of whom we wish to hallow. And I just have to say that while it's just Donica and I here, I have a sense that there are spirits sharing our sanctuary with us. We remember them. In the rising of the sun and in its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. In the beginning of the year and when it ends, we remember them. When we are weary and in need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. So long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. For closing words today, I've chosen an Irish blessing. It wasn't just happenstance I did this. For 38 years, Maurice and Juliana Nord were choir director and organist in this church, and often during the Peter, Dick, and Glenda years, they used this Irish blessing as a choral benediction. I won't be singing it today, but I think the words will have meaning for all of us. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. the rains fall soft upon your fields, and may God hold you in the hollow of his hand until we meet again. Peace be with you. Be well.